Hi everybody, my name is Ralph, I'm an addict. I was okay 5 minutes before I stepped up to the mic. I'm grateful to be here. I want to thank the committee for inviting us. It's a very special occasion because I don't remember that my wife and me ever spoke on the same podium in all the 40-something years we've been clean. So it's a very special moment to share with you. And it's a very interesting topic. And I thought, oh my God, do they think I'm a predecessor because I have some clean time? And is this something, you know, very special, and I have to put on the big show or so, you know, and because I myself never saw myself as a predecessor. I'm just like an addict, you know, who got stayed clean a day at a time, you know, and when I came here, I was very beaten. I was very desperate. I was hopeless. I was not in a good physical condition, and I got clean in San Francisco in 1981, and a friend of mine who has been a member of the predecessor fellowship invited me to come to a meeting, and it was at Halloween, around Halloween, and people were sharing. They identified, you know, with a certain substance. They were always talking about this substance. And there were these two people. Everybody was dressed in costumes, you know, because it was Halloween. There were these two people, a man and a woman, sharing, like being up on the podium, and they wore like this full body rabbit costumes and sharing about how difficult it is as a rabbit to stay sober, you know. And I couldn't identify. And but after the meeting, you know, I introduced myself as you know, as an addict. And after the meeting, somebody came to me and said, "Hey, you know, there's this thing called NA. There's a meeting tomorrow. You know, maybe you want to check it out. I will be there." You know, and so the next day, I went to this meeting. It was I don't know if anybody knows San Francisco in the 80s. It was on the South of Market. It was not like a good neighborhood, you know. It was like in this storefront building. All the chairs, there were these fold-up, you know, chairs, and they were all like kind of beaten up. You know, the paint was coming off the wall. All these people running around, smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee. You know, I immediately felt at home. And ever since I felt at home. I had a lot of reservations, you know. They were talking about their using, and I was like, yeah, I didn't do that, you know. Yeah, he's really sick, you know. I was like judging, but at the same time, I had this feeling in my heart that was completely different what my head was telling me, you know. And so this feeling was like, this is my tribe. I have come home. I have met people who have felt the same way what I have felt. Also, it was a different language, it was a different country. And everybody in the room, obviously, was my predecessor. You know, they had like one day more than me, it was a predecessor, you know, or they had 10 years more than me. You know, at that time, 10 years was like a milestone, was like unbelievable, somebody having 10 years clean. You know, and so I was going to these meetings, and I wasn't thinking that I really had a drug problem. You know, I was thinking I had kind of emotional problems, you know, and then when I stopped using, I realized I had a drug problem, because I was feeling all these strange things, you know. I was not being able to sleep, I was kind of itching, I was like kind of sweating, you know, I was kind of have this anger inside of me. I was taking cushions, screaming into the cushion, you know, because I felt this incredible pain inside myself. And I didn't know where it came from, and I didn't know what the solution were. And at the same time, I was having these feelings of shame and guilt, because I started to realize what I had done to the people I had lived with up to that point. I had started to realize, and I didn't know at that time that there was a solution, that we had steps and program and so on. So my decision was, I'm going to kill myself. You know, I was already clean. You know, I was already, I don't know, I still don't know when that happened, maybe in the first couple of months or so. And I got very quiet. I said, okay, going to kill myself. I was not desperate. No, I had, okay, this is the solution. I'm going to kill myself. And I even talked to someone on the phone. We were talking about, oh, what are you doing tomorrow, blah, 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 you know. I hung up and I tried to kill myself. I hung myself. And that moment, I had this, you know, sometimes people share about we have this moment of clarity. At that moment, I had this moment of clarity. You know, I realized, or something in me realized, that I think wasn't me, something realized, and I heard this voice, and it said, Ralph, what are you doing? And I didn't know where this voice came from. So I pulled myself up, and I was willing to do anything to stay clean. I wasn't putting any conditions on my recovery anymore, or on staying clean. If I get this and that, I'm going to stay clean, you know. So this, in a way, was my surrender. This was, in a nutshell, my first step, you know. And I'm very grateful, because sometimes we talk about predecessors, thinking it's only the members inside here. But I have a sister who's 2.5 years older. She's a predecessor, too. And when I was using, I always wrote, like, letters to her. Oh, my life is so bad, I don't know, I lost my mind. If you find it, send it to me, you know, express, and, you know, very dramatic. And I already was clean, you know, at one point, she was very loving. I mean, she loved her little brother. I was her hero, you know, because I did a lot of things she's not allowed to do, or she didn't, you know, give her permission to do herself. And then she said, Ralph, grow up. I can't hear your fucking shit anymore. You know, and because I was clean, this kind of hit me. And, you know, and I opened up to her and said, hey, I'm an addict, you know, blah, blah, blah. And of course, she told my parents, you know, and all of a sudden it clicked, you know, because my parents, my other predecessors, you know, they always kind of looked at me, what is he doing now? You know, and there came another call, send me money. You know, I called from the US my father like at 2 o'clock in the morning, because I didn't, you know, I was too loaded to, you know, about the time difference. Said, hey, Dad, I need money, you know. And it's like, and all of a sudden they realized, you know, hey, he's an addict, you know. You know, and I had all these resentments about my family, especially about my dad, and partly my mother, you know, she was very controlling and so on. And when I was clean, like 1 year, they came and visited, and those, I took them to a meeting, you know, and it's very interesting reaction, you know. My mother said, oh my God, why are they all laughing? They're telling these horrible things, you know, I can't stand it. My father was just sitting there kind of nodding, you know. My father has been depressive, you know, all his life. He has anxiety attacks. He was on medication, so somehow he knew what people were talking about, you know, and he was very different, you know, and still at that time I had like a very big issue with my dad, and like I had like no real relationship, you know, and I tried to talk to him, you know, like in the first year of recovery, maybe you remember you have all this enthusiasm, you know, blah, you want to change your life immediately, you want to do all the amends at once, you know. So I tried talking to him, and it was like, yeah, we talked, you know, but it was not like a real talk. And it took like many, many years later, you know, almost more than 30 years later, when my mother died, and that we became very close, and sometimes it takes that long, you know, and takes two sides, you know, to move towards each other. And when when my mother died, I took care of everything, you know. He was devastated, you know, because he loved this woman so much, you know. And so I called him, you know, like almost every day. And in the past, I, you know, as part of my amends, I had, you know, tried to call them and have like a conversation that I thought was meaningful, the way I defined meaningful. And at a point, I realized their definition of meaningful is very different than my definition of meaningful, and that it's in this relationship, it's really not about me, you know, it's about them. So I realized when I call, the most important thing is not what we talk about, but that we talk, you know. And so when my dad, 5 years after my mother died, my dad was diagnosed with severe cancer, untreatable, and he didn't know about it. You know, you went to the doctors. I said, I go to the doctors with you. And so the kind of the surgeon and all these people, he had to done an MRI, and this doctor came, and he said, yeah, here are the, you know, she showed us all, you know, the metastasis and all that stuff, the tumors. My father was just sitting there. He was like completely absent, you know. And then she realized that he didn't know anything. And she kind of looked at me and I said, okay, let's talk. And she said, he hardly has any chance. So he stayed at the hospital, you know, he never left the hospital. And so I went visiting him every day. And the last days of his life, he couldn't talk anymore. And I was there, and I was asking him questions. That you want to have pain medication? He nodded, and I asked him all other questions. The last question I asked him is, I said, Dad, you want to die? It was kind of very difficult, you know, I mean. And he nodded, because he was not able to tell me, because he was afraid it would be too much for me. But I was okay, you know. I had done my steps, I had done my amends, you know. I was open, you know, and it felt like, and this is what happens in recovery, you know. We open the doors and people can walk in. And so the doors were open, because you opened these doors for me, so I could open the doors for him, so he could be who he was, you know. And then like 2 days later, he died. And before, a day before, two days before, he couldn't talk anymore. He said, I said him, I love you, you know. And his voice didn't come out, and he just pointed at himself, and then he pointed at me and nodded. And I said, yeah, I know you love me too, you know. And this is like one of these things we experience in the program, you know, because these people who came before us, they taught us and they opened the doors, you know, so we can walk through those doors. Of course, it's the meeting doors that are open, but it's also opening the doors in our hearts, which is like maybe even more important than opening the meeting doors, you know. And so this, with this thing, with the predecessors, because there are many people in my life who have been very instrumental to my recovery, like in the early days. Like I mentioned, I wanted to kill myself, and then I became willing to do something. Because I was ready, I had no idea what to do. And then I meant, okay, it means cleaning house. Oh, it means these two marijuana plants have to go in the dumpster. I still had them, I don't know why, they're nice plants, you know. And this little scale I had, like this gram scale, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, and this little envelope, you know, that was stashed away with that scale. What do I need this for, you know, so. This has to go out. And this is what I learned, that I had to clean house first on the outside, also on the inside. And I had to get into these steps, you know, find a higher power. And it's for me, it's like, I checked out a lot of different things, you know, to find a higher power. And I read books, I went to lectures, and so on, you know. And I think it's something very personal, and I don't really know if there is a higher power, you know. But if I look, and I talked to my sponsor the other day, and I said, if I look at the evidence of my life, situations that happened to me, where I just got through, or survived, or nothing happened, or this special thing occurred, where I didn't know, you know, like I had this big problem, I didn't know what to do, and I prayed about it, and I said, fuck, why it's not, you know, happening, and all of a sudden it happens, you know, in a very different way that you might expect it. And there are all these occasions in my life where I see that some benevolent force is working in my life, and I don't give a shit if I call it God, higher power, Buddha, Allah, whatever. The main thing is this power exists, and I can access it if I'm open to it, you know. And then, of course, over the years and times, you know, my concepts have changed, and there were many people, you know. And I think, like, the people who came before us, you know, when I came to the program, there was a lot about this tough love, you know. Where the steps, motherfucker, or die, you know. We're like these guys, these dudes in San Francisco, you know, Sailor Bob, you know. And I never was into that stuff, you know. But it was important because, like, I realized even these guys, they had a higher power, you know, and they did what worked for them, and I could, like, kind of use it or not use it, you know. And in my recovery, there have been difficult times. You know, it was not a bed of roses. The first 2 years, I didn't sleep. I was crazy. You know, I was, my head was spinning all over the place. You know, and slowly, my life stabilized. And then I went into a crisis around 10 years clean, around a relationship that ended, and a sponsorship that ended. You know, I'm very. Especially that first sponsor I had, Sylvia, talked about her, who came back from England as a woman, and I asked her to be my sponsor when she was still identifying as a man. I came to Germany with 2.5 years clean. I brought a basic text. Nobody had seen the basic text, you know. And I thought, hey, I'm this recovery guy. I know where it's at, you know. And this person, you know, this my. Sponsor, you know, becoming sponsor, she said, Ralph, you need a sponsor. And I knew the only person I could ask was her, you know. And I didn't want to give her this pleasure. Because, I mean, this is how my thinking was, you know, kind of like, you know, I'm this king, you know, and here's this, you know, what do you know? And when I went through this crisis, she's been my sponsor for all this time, you know, after 10 years of sponsorship, she said to me, Ralph, I'm starting to like you. Because I was the kind of sponsor who called, hey, you know, I went through this, da-da-da-da, and I did this and this, and now I'm fine again, you know? So actually, like, I knew better, you know? And so it didn't work. But when I went into in this crisis, you know, with this relationship, a lot of old trauma, you know, I have big issues with abandonment and stuff, and all this stuff came up, and then we had like a fight about some service issues or some issues on what was said and what was heard, and I would say what you heard was not what was said, and it was the other way around, and it got very, very painful, like, you know, at meetings, cross-talking, and this was like in the most difficult time in my life. And because I had this craziness in my head, I was going, before I stopped using, there was a time where for a long time I was very psycho. I'd lost my identity. I didn't know who I was anymore. I was wandering around, you know, town and just being lost and crazy. And the biggest fear I had in my life that I was going back to that point again. You know, and then and this was devastating for me, and I went back to that point. I went back to these emotions, but because I had all this recovery, I could act differently. But I still had the emotions, And I was lying in bed and I was thinking, gee, I have every right to get up and use. But I couldn't get up and use. Something held me. So again, I got a new concept of a higher power. I could see a higher power working in my life. And I remember one day, because sometimes we go through these crises and we don't know what it's good for, or we think we have to know, has this a purpose or not? I don't believe like that God gives me these things so to test me or to whatever. But I mean, I believe I can learn from things and I can go through things. And I remember I was looking down the street, I was waiting for a bus, and at the end of, far in the distance, I had this kind of vision. I said, maybe also I'm very crazy, I'm hurting like shit right now. Maybe one day there will be another addict who's going through this, and I can tell this person, you can go through this clean, and you come out on the other side. And this was the only hope and faith I had at that moment. And it was true, it happened. It took time, took a lot of effort, took a new sponsor, working the steps again, you know, especially six and seventh step. This is like what Sylvia said also, it's like, I think six and seven is really like the turning point in recovery, and they're like one of the hardest ones, you know. I mean, step four, you know, easy shit, you know, don't worry, just do it. And so, you know, and through crisis, you know, there were a lot of people who came before me, predecessors, who supported me, and there were people, because I was a very arrogant guy, you know, because I had all this service experience and all. And I was always like, with some exceptions, Sylvia and Daniel, when we're like the people who were the longest clean time, you know, and I had kind of this thing, I have this long clean time, you know, I have like 10 years, yeah, super shit, and I can't feel this way, I can't show it, I can't share at meetings about this, that I need help. And it really humbled me, you know, and I had to ask for help, and people were, you know, offering me their car, offering me to cook for me, and all this stuff. All the people I had before put down and have told them, you don't work your program right, you know, blah, blah, blah. And these people came out and supported me, you know. So, and that really changed my whole attitude about the program. And it took some time, a lot of work, a lot of step work to work through that. Again, I went into a crisis. You know, after, I don't know, when my mother died. My mother died, had to take care of my dad. My wife was going through hepatitis C treatment. My sister diagnosed with cancer. She was in a mental institution because she couldn't handle it. And a good friend of mine diagnosed with a tumor. And work was like, I was overworked, I was burned out at work, and I just broke down, basically. And I tried to keep everything still going, you know. But what I learned was like that I was very depressed. And what I learned was like that I have to share about this at meetings, no matter how long I'm clean. I had like 30 years or something, and another humbling experience. And then we went to... Then we went to Philadelphia to the World Convention, and actually I went there to look for a sponsor. Spoiler, I found a sponsor, and I'm very, very grateful for my sponsees, who always kind of like supported me. They think I support them. I mean, they support me much more than I support them, I think, you know, and because they're beautiful. I mean, their step work, wow, you know, I'm just like, grammar school, you know, they're like professors, you know, and it's amazing, you know, but I really profit from that, you know, it's great. And then I heard Tom speak about sex and six and seventh step, and I knew Tom from before, and so I walked up, and actually the sponsors, we were like in the back row, I said, I'm gonna ask him, you know, this is like 30-something years, and they said, hey, go ask. I said, no, I don't know, there are all these people. And so I walked up and I said, hey, Tom, you know, blah, blah, blah. Ooh, can I talk to you? I don't know what I said. I was, you know, said, will you be my sponsor, you know? And he said, yeah, let's go, let's meet, you know, blah, I have time. You go over at the hotel and stuff. And then I walked back crying, and then the sponsors go like, what did he say, what did he say? You know, I said, oh, he said yes, he said it. It was like... So the funny thing was like, you know, I don't know what happened, you know. I mean, it's like for many, many years, like they say, you come here, you will hear your story. And at that day, with 2013, I had 32 years clean, I heard my story. But I didn't hear my story from, oh, I did this, you know, I did like all these holdups and blah, blah, guns and shit, you know. But I heard the story from inside, what happens inside of you in your heart about guilt and shame, how you know, how this is really toxic and spoils you. But the thing is, I didn't only hear the story, I heard the solution. And this is what happens. It's not that we only hear our stories. We hear the solution from somebody who has gone through it and found a way to the other side, you know. So it's been 12 years now, you know, and this is, for me, like, sponsorship is a very special relationship, you know, where I learned so much, and not so much from what I heard, you know. I mean, this also, you know, you get directions and stuff. But from the practical example, what it means to live a program day by day in your life and you practice it, you know. It's like, I always think people talk about, yeah, I write my steps and stuff. But it's okay to write the steps. You get a lot of information and stuff. But the thing, this is the tools. You get to know the tools. But you have to learn to use the tools to build something with it, to build this house, and this is practice, you know. And I just want to close with this, like, we should celebrate our predecessors. And the predecessor is a person who has a day more clean than you. It's not about time, it's about recovery. Thank you.